This is C. Travis Webb, editor of The American Age, and our podcast practices what we like to call a form of intellectual intimacy. What that means is myself and my co-hosts, Stephen Fullwood and Seth Rodney, give ourselves the space and time to think about things out loud and together, and to not necessarily push towards agreement, but more to push towards understanding. And the conversation is meant to model what I think is an indispensable part of intellectual discourse, which is a good faith effort to understand and comprehend in a compassionate and open-minded way ideas that are strange, that might even be offensive. And the podcast ranges in a variety of topics. So I'd like to talk about three podcasts in particular, which I think encapsulate kind of the moment in the country right now. They happen to be the three podcasts that were the most listened to in these past few months. The first is on the topic of American adolescence. And, you know, this has been a preoccupation of mine in particular for a number of years. It's something that's been remarked upon by literary critics, that there is a particular kind of masculine adolescence alive and well in the American literary tradition. You can think of sort of Jake Barnes, and Nick Carraway, these kind of characters. And, you know, I think that there is a real kernel of truth in that. And I think that we are living through an age that exemplifies that aspect of the American character. It's an aspect of the American character that I have criticized pretty seriously. But the first podcast that I'd like to, sort of bring into the conversation was one in which we looked at what are the positives of that kind of adolescence. And what I mean by adolescence is a tendency to simplify and see the world in terms of black and white, us and them, a tendency to be a bit ahistorical in our thinking, to believe that we can reinvent or do things in a way that is altogether different than the generations that have come before us. And what that allows is, you know, something like Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech. It allows someone, a great orator and thinker, and, you know, even though I'm loath to use the term dreamer, to imagine a better future in which the well-acknowledged racist underpinnings of this country, what established this country, ideas of whiteness, ideas of masculinity, it allowed, you know, King's, that capacity in the American imagination allowed someone like King to articulate a future that undoes all that, that transcends or maybe more fully realizes Jefferson's vision, that transcends the inconsistencies and the hypocrisies of our founding fathers, that addresses our failures over the years. And so that adolescence does have a real sort of magic quality to it. And I do use the word magic intentionally because, you know, the history of the world is the history of iniquity. It's the history of suffering. It's the history of challenge and difficulty and only moments of very brief triumph when justice sort of shines through. But there's something in the American character that helps us to imagine a future in which that can be fully realized. And that's something that I think has to be rightly acknowledged and celebrated in the American character. You know, the second podcast dealt with, as we have over many episodes on the American Age podcast, COVID-19, which, you know, everyone is, you know, dealing with and has opinions about. And, you know, I have a somewhat contrary position to my co-hosts and a position that puts me at odds with people with whom I identify politically. So I would, you know, I believe in universal health care. I believe in expanding enfranchisement of the right to vote. You know, I believe in some mechanism of reparations, you know, so politically I'm pretty progressive, but I do feel that we've lost the plot with COVID-19. I feel like we are not looking at the data. We're not looking at the information. We are strongly overreacting to the actual consequences of this particular disease. And more importantly than any of that, though, so, you know, let's grant that I might be wrong. Maybe I'm too sanguine about the dangers that COVID-19 poses. The delegitimization of alternative viewpoints from completely legitimate scientists, from completely legitimate policy advocates, in the mainstream media is a real disservice to the country, and I think reflects a kind, the downside of that adolescence, which is that we don't want to hear the things that we don't want to hear. You know, we don't want to stretch our imaginations to entertain the possibility that the things that we hold on to so desperately might in fact be wrong, and we might just be flawed in our opinions of the world. And, you know, I am one to acknowledge when, you know, when I find myself to be wrong or to have positions that I think are incorrect. But it is not a trait that I see in the country right now. And not to hold myself up as a paragon of that, but that conversation was pretty controversial. We got some emails about it. You know, that there were people that were quite upset that I was citing the statistics that I was citing, even though these were just statistics that are readily available to anyone. You know, the last podcast was dealt with, you know, conservatives in the age of Trump, which is, you know, conservative has kind of become a dirty word amongst my friends and colleagues and people, you know, with whom I agree politically. The idea of being a conservative is one that is tantamount to being a racist, to being a misogynist. And that's it's a real shame because it's such a deep mischaracterization of what a conservative is. You know, I mean, a conservative, you know, politically speaking, is someone who is more concerned about things getting worse than they are about things getting better. Now, there's no doubt that maybe this moment is a moment in which they are wrong to want to preserve the status quo. That's not, you know, that's not really the point, at least not my point. It's that progressives and people with whom I identify with politically, their political imaginations have become so stunted, so incapable of imagining that the other side might have a point. And I'm not talking about Trump, or I'm not talking about the more sort of absurd, extreme rhetoric on the other side. I'm talking about people that have well thought out political positions around policing, around healthcare, around fiscal policy, around, you know, economics, that are not even allowed a seat at the table. And to dine with their ideas is tantamount to dining with a traitor amongst a certain group of people. And I think that that is a real shame. You know, for us at the American Age and for the podcast, you know, what we are about is championing civility and giving other people the benefit of the doubt and listening to one another, because we're all we've got. You know, this is it for us at this time and this place. You know, we've inherited the history we've inherited, and we have to do the work to try and repair some of the damage that's been done before us. So I'd like to thank Jeff Barkin and Nat Kimber for giving me the opportunity to contribute a monologue. And I hope you guys all stay safe out there. Take care.